Can go to the next verse. Now the Lord is answering the question. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam. Sanyasam Kavayo Viduhu. Sarva Karma Phalatyagam. Prahustyagam Vichakshanah. So here the Lord is showing us his humility. He's not saying, I say that. First he says, before I give you my opinion, I want you to give you the opinion of a lot of wise people who have preceded me. People who have written the Upanishads and the Brahma Sutras and all these beautiful things that have come in the past. The wise people, what do they say? So he says, first let me give you others' opinion. Then the second and third verse, he gives the opinion of wise people, and then he starts saying, May Mata, listen to me. So he says, Shri Bhagavan Uvach, the Bhagavan, the Lord said, Kamya Nam Karma Nam Nyasam. Nyasam means giving up. Kamya Nam Karma Nam. Kamya means desire prompted karmas, desire prompted activities to give up, is called sannyasa. So what is sannyasa? Giving up desire prompted activities. Who says that? Viduhu. Who knew that? The Kavaya, the Kavis, the wise people, the sages and the scholars, they knew and they understand and they say, what do they say? That giving up desire-prompted activities is sannyasa. So you wanted to know what is sannyas? Giving up desire-prompted activities, and that includes ego. So that is the wise people say that is sannyas. And what is tyaga? Sarva karma phala tyagam. So sarva karma, all activities, fruit, phala is fruit, tyagam. So giving up the fruit of all actions is prahu. Who said it? Vichakshana. Wise people say that what is tyaga? Giving up the karma phala, the fruit of action. In fact, the entire Bhagavad Gita, the main essence of the knowledge is tyaga. In fact, Swami Ishwaranandaji, when he was doing this 18th chapter, he says, when you say Gita, Gita faster, you say Gita, 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 what happened? Become Tagi, Tagi, Tagi. So Tyagi. So Gita, the reverse is Tyagi. So Gita, the main essence is Tyaga. So some people say giving up the fruit of action is Tyaga. And other wise people say giving up desire prompted activities is Sannyasa. So now let us spend a little time talking about sannyas. So what is sannyas? Sannyasa is giving up desire. Now who desires? It is the ego. I. When I say I am doing this for my pleasure and I will get happiness and my, you know, wealth will grow. I and my. So I, when we do desire prompted activities, they are in the present. I. And when I am not happy because I do not get what I wanted and my thing was taken away by somebody else, that's when it creates restlessness. It creates problems. It creates sorrow because I did not get what I want. So sannyasa is giving up this I, this ego. So sannyasa works in the present. That while I am working, I should work without ego. Then what is tyaga? It is the giving up the fruit of action. So fruit always comes in the future, right? I plant a mango seed today. I cannot eat mangoes tomorrow. Maybe 10 years from now, I will eat mangoes. But if I put my hand, you know, I'm trying to change a bulb and I put my hand in the socket, when will I get the result? Not after 5 years or 10 years, I'll get it instantly. So some actions give you the result instantly and some actions take 5 years, 10 years.
How do you know which actions are instant and which ones are going to take a while?
I think it depends on the nature of the action. You know, like obviously, like if you do something, each action may take time to mature. Like if you plant a flower bush, now that will flower within a year. But if you plant a... So also there is a law of karma. That's an excellent question. And we don't know which, in this action, it is very clear. You know, I put my hand in the socket, I'll get a shock. But if I have done a good or a bad karma, when it will fructify, it's not up to me. It is, there is a law of karma and there is a lawgiver. So like if I have hurt somebody or said something bad to somebody, I may get the result the next day or next week or next month or next year or even next lifetime. So we don't know. Similarly, if I've done good actions, I may get the result tomorrow or next year or next lifetime. It's not up to me, but all my, in my control is to do good actions. The whole spirituality is go from bad to good. You know, from asatoma, satgamaya, tamasoma, jyotirgamaya. We chant that. That may from darkness, may I go to light. From untruth, may I go to the truth. So in my hand is only to do good karmas and reduce my bad karmas and let the results take care of themselves.
Okay, because maybe the guru will take away some of your bad karmas. So
the Lord has the ability to grace, but generally the law of karma is very absolute. It is one for one. A guru cannot, by his grace, remove your bad karmas. You know, in fact, Swami Chinmayananda used to say, I'm not a mule guru. You cannot climb on my back and go to the highest. You have to go on your own. So guru can show you the path, but a true guru will not promise that he will take away your bad karmas. No, none of them. Each one of us has to undergo. Like if I'm hungry, can the guru eat for me and I'll become full? No. If I am hungry, I have to eat. If guru is hungry, guru will eat. Guru cannot eat for me, or your husband or wife or your child cannot. So how do they expect them to take your karmas? So each one of us has to go through our own karmas. So the result of the fruit comes in the future. So that's why it is said that we must work. Some people think sannyas means I should give up all work. You know, I should give up work, put on orange clothes, or put on a priest's habit and go sit in the monk, and you know, in the convent or in the forest. No, you have to work. The work is a must. It's not giving up work. It is giving up the attitude with which we work. Give up, do work without attachment. And I'll talk about that a little more. And they said it is sequential. Tyaga comes before sannyas. So first I have to work without giving up the fruit of, I mean, without expecting the fruit of action, giving up the fruit, and then only the ego and the renunciation will come. So tyaga comes first and sannyas will come later. And I'll just briefly cover that. It is, we work at four levels. This is a very, very important point. So please pay attention. I think this is very powerful. This will help us make it clear for us. The first level of work is selfish work, you know, which we all do. I work for I and myself. I work for wages. So I work so that I get paid. And that's all. My goal is, you know, go to the office, work and come back. And whatever salary I get is me and mine. So that is the first. And majority of the world lives at that level. Most of the world works only for I and my, looking out for number one, what is in it for me? You know, all those, you know, phrases we have. Then this next evolution is you work without fruit. And what we mean by work without fruit does not mean that you don't plan the work. What it means is that while I am doing the activity, I am not thinking about the result. Neither am I thinking about the past. Say if I'm taking a test, you know, I've talked about it, and I say, you know, last year also I took this same test and I failed. I didn't do good. That means I'm living in the past. Or if I don't do well in this test, you know, I won't get a promotion. So while I'm taking the test, if I think about the past, regrets of the past or anxieties of the future, worries of the future, then my performance will be not good. So while I'm doing the activity, do not think about the fruit. We're not saying don't plan out your activity, but you plan. That's why Gurudev says, plan out your activity and then carry out your plan. So first make a plan and then carrying it out. But while I am doing the day, I am working, like, again, you know, say if I'm speaking now and if I say, you know, if I don't do a good job, I don't know these people, they may not like. And then next week, instead of 30, there will be only 3. And I'll be, you know, so then what I'm doing, I'm thinking about the result. You do your best at that moment and let the result take care of itself. So when we said without fruit, and the second meaning of working without fruit is the essence of karma yoga, is that I'm not only working for I and myself, but I am expanding I to bigger, make it bigger. Previously, I only used to work for me and my family. Now I've started expand my activity. Okay, I'm working for the church, or I'm working for the mission. And then you expand it further. I'm working for the city of Bakersfield. What is good for me is not only what is good for me, but what is good for the city is good for me. Like Kennedy said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. So I expand, you know, that's why a city councilman should not only think about their ward or their district, should see what is good for the city of Bakersfield. And then you expand, okay, I'm a resident of California, so I should do what is good for California. Then I'm a resident of the US. And then I'm a resident of this earth. So that is how you expand your vision. And ultimately, I am part of that totality, the total Brahman, that I am. So as you expand your vision, your activities become more evolved, more pure. And so one should not only work for myself, but I should do what is good for others. Because the benefit of all, it also helps me. So that is the third level. I start working unselfishly, like these social workers and, you know. But then the third level is the level of the bhakta or the devotee, which he says, I am an instrument of the Lord. O Lord, I am nothing. You are working through me. And whatever is happening because of your grace. You are the doer. I am a humble servant. And most of the saints, you know, they function that way. Bhagwan is doing everything. I am not doing anything. I am a humble servant. I am here. Use me as you wish. If you use me, I'll work. If not, I'm fine. So there is absolutely no ego in that. You know, that is the third level where there is a total surrender of one's ego to the higher. But the fourth level, which is the level of Vedanta, which is the level of the Upanishads, says that I am not even doing anything. I am the spirit. I am the consciousness. This body, mind and intellect is working in my presence. So that is the highest, you know, where I am not even the doer. I am not even the instrument. Everything is happening, but I am not involved. So these are levels of evolution where you are doing the same work, but you can evolve your work. Like I have said before, like when you're walking on the treadmill, you can say, I am not walking. I am in my presence. These hands and feet are moving. So that same activity can become a meditative. If I'm washing dishes, you can say that. You know, I'm not washing. I am the spirit, the consciousness, but in my presence, these hands are washing. So that washing of the dishes becomes a meditative activity, vacuuming the floor, or wherever I am, whatever job I am doing, when I'm taking care of patients, you can make that activity into a spiritual activity, either by calling yourself an instrument of the Lord, or I am that. And in meditation, that's what we learn, or that's what we practice in meditation, that I am that Brahman, I am that consciousness. Mano buddha hankar chitta ninaham. I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the intellect. I am the consciousness. Chidananda rupaha shivoham shivoham. I am that consciousness. And in my presence, everything is happening. And not only I am the consciousness, but everything is that consciousness. That oneness comes. So these are the four levels of evolution, and we have to slowly evolve from selfish to unselfish to then becoming an instrument of the Lord and ultimately a non-doer. So that is the stages of progress, the stages of evolution. So this is a very, very important point, and we have to see what level am I at, where am I, and how can I go to the highest. Even if you go up to the working unselfishly for the benefit of others, that's karma yoga. Selfish is the first one. The second is karma yoga. Third is bhakti. And the fourth is jnana. So that is the evolution. Then in life, there are kamya karma and kartavya karma. So what is kamya karma? Kamya karma is desire prompted activities where the ego comes in. You know, I am the doer. And when we have a choice, you know, suppose I say tomorrow, no, today is Sunday, or on Saturday, I say tomorrow is Sunday. What am I going to do? Kamya is to do what I like and Kartavya is to do what I have to do. So am I going to do what I like or am I going to do what I should? Like if I go to a restaurant, should I eat what is healthy or should I eat what I enjoy eating? You know, we make the choices all the time. This is something I like and something that is good for me. So these choices we always have to make. You know, am I going to do, so that's why I have to, when I get up in the morning, should I sit and meditate, you know, or do some prayer or puja, or should I get a cup of coffee and, you know, pick up a newspaper? Or nowadays, of course, nobody picks up newspaper. I'm talking about the old times. But should I have a cup of coffee and check my email, or, you know, check the news on my phone? So what am I going to do first thing in the morning? Am I going to think about the Lord and ask Him to be with me? Or am I going to... So constantly we have a choice between Kamya Karma and Kartavya Karma. What I should do and what I would like to do. And to the greater extent you stay in this Kartavya, that it should be done, to that extent you are spiritually evolved. To the extent that you say, I feel like doing it, I enjoy doing it, I'm going to keep doing it, then you are at the level of the body, mind and intellect. Then you are not evolving. So the essence of the Bhagavad Gita is to take us from Kamya Karma to Kartavya Karma. What I like and what I should do. And living at the level of the ego, we get easily hurt. You know, we get easily hurt. I say hi to somebody and he doesn't reply. You know, I get so hurt. You know, hi, how are you? And then we expect him, fine. And then he'll say, how are you? Then I say, fine. And then I'm fine. But suppose he ignores my question and my feelings get hurt. You know, I smiled at that person. He never smiled back at me. Actually, it's very interesting. If you ask somebody, hi, how are you? All they say is fine. But suppose you ask somebody, how are you? And he says, you know what? I didn't have a good bowel movement today. And my head hurts. And I had a fight with my wife. And my teenager was angry and left the house. And my boy, they'll say, why did I ask? So we really don't want to know, how are you? You know, it's a very mechanical question. But if somebody doesn't answer, our ego gets hurt. So they say, do not focus too much on the ego. Do what is right. Do what is good. And giving up this I and my and this little things we get so attached to. What is ego? It's nothing but a, Raman Maharishi very beautifully says, it is nothing but a false projection. This false image we have created of who I should be. I really may not be that. See, they say there are two I's. One is who I really am and one is who I want the world to know. And the third one is what my wife thinks of me. That's the third one. That is the true one. That is the one that she really knows. So the point is that we have this image that we create of who I am. And when that image gets broken or hurt, then we get very upset. So they say, be truthful, be who you are. You don't have to worry about. And the more you focus on this ego, the more you get hurt. The more you focus on the spirit, on Brahman, that is who I truly I am. It's okay, somebody likes me or doesn't like me, I'm fine because I am not this mind. So somebody hurts me, somebody insults me, it's okay. I'm not that. Let him, it's his problem, it's not my problem. So what that does is it saves you from a lot of hurt. The more you identify with the BMI, the more you get hurt. The more you identify with who I really am, the more immune. It does not mean that you don't care. What it means is that you become immune to others' hurt and insult. And in fact, you actually become more caring. Because if I am that spirit and she is and everybody is that one spirit, then I develop love for all because they are all me. So that is how you evolve from ego to the true I. I was reading another commentary, beautiful commentary that talks about Tyaga. It's so nice. This author compares it to a snake molting. Now what happens is, I actually didn't know that much, but I read this commentary. And it is said that a snake, once it grows bigger and bigger, now the skin becomes too tight for the snake. And the skin doesn't grow. It's interesting. I didn't know that. The skin doesn't grow. Like in our case, our skin grows as we get older. But in the snake's case, it doesn't grow. So what the snake does, after a while, it ruptures that skin. The skin actually tears and the snake discards it and walks away and then grows a new skin. That is called molting. So that kind of tyaga is what we need to practice. And what do they mean by that? What do they mean by that is that at this moment, just as the snake is imprisoned in that skin, and if it did not discard the skin, it would die. So we at this moment are so imprisoned in this world, in all that what is happening, all the violence, and we have more weapons than, you know, we can, million times we can destroy the whole earth, and we still will have weapons left over. There is so much violence and so much, you know, negativity and so much conflict and I and my. And if we have nobody to fight, we start fighting with each other. You know, Shias are fighting Sunnis, and, you know, Republicans are fighting Democrats, especially with this election now. You see what is happening. In fact, they say that people get the leaders they deserve. If you are getting Trump, it's because you deserve it. That's absolutely. Or if in India, the leaders are so corrupt. Why they are corrupt? Because we are corrupt. If the people are corrupt, then they will elect corrupt leaders. If the people are violent, they will elect violent leaders. So we get the leaders we deserve. We get the law of karma is very clear. You never get anything that you don't deserve. Whatever is happening is because we deserve it. We planned it. And that one has to very clearly make it understood. That what is happening to me is not God is doing it, or nature is doing it, or my neighbor is doing it, or my husband is doing it, or my child is doing it. I am responsible. So that the human race at this moment is caught up in this conflict. And we have to get rid of the molting. We have to, just as a snake gives up its cover, we have to change. And that's why in our scriptures, they talk about four yugas. You know, there is Satyug, Treta Yug, Dwapar Yug, and Kali Yug. And we are in Kali Yug. In Satyug, of course, everything was very nice and peaceful. And then Treta Yug was when Ramchandra Ji was there. And then in Dwapar Yug, Krishna appeared. And, you know, things were slowly deteriorating. As we see in Dwapar, there was a lot of violence and Mahabharata and all. And now we are in Kali Yug, which is the worst one. And they said the total thing is about 4.2 million years. Because Satyug is about 1.7, and then the Treta is 1.3, so that's 3 million, and then 800,000 and 4. So 4.2, so we are at the fag end. We are actually in the worst part of Kali Yuga. But it is interesting that our scriptures say that the world won't end in Kali Yuga, Satyug will come again. So there is hope. It's not that it is a hopeless situation, but what we have to do is, we have to make the right choices. You know, why have we become in this state? Because we made wrong choices. Not only as an individual, but also as a nation. You know, as the nations are also making wrong choices, individuals. But what is a nation? Nation is nothing but individuals together. Each and every one of us makes America. Each and every person in Britain makes England. Each and every person in Brazil makes Brazil. So countries are nothing but individuals who have made the choices. And depending on whether I make good or bad choices, that is how I will influence. I will influence my family. I will influence my community. And then when people get together and make wrong choices, that's when war happens. You know, when the majority say, okay, we have to now go and conquer Iraq. You know, the war happened. So the individuals making wrong choices makes wrong national choices, and the wrong national choices makes wrong international choices, and that's why the problem in the world is because of that. So we have to give up our old ways of thinking. We have to have a higher vision, a vision of harmony, a vision of peace. And to the extent my vision is higher, to the extent I am thinking beyond my selfish interest, to that extent, my actions become sattvic. Right now, we are in the grip of rajas, totally in the grip of rajas. You know, we have covered in the 17th chapter in detail. But we are in the grip of I and my and getting and possessing and wanting and all. To the extent I am ready to do tyaga, to the extent I am ready to give up, to the extent I am ready to renounce, to the extent I am ready to think about the welfare of others, you know, put others before yourself. That's what all these great saints taught us, whether it was Jesus or Mahatma Gandhi or, you know, Shankaracharya. All of them taught us, Buddha, they taught us that love everybody as yourself. To that extent that you give up, to that extent you do tyaga, and to that extent you become a sannyasi. So sannyasi is not somebody who is wearing orange clothes, but sannyasi is who is sacrificed himself, his ego, for the benefit of all. So this is in brief Krishna has told us, and now he will go into more detail about what should be given up, what should not be given up, who should give up, and what is the meaning of tyaga and sannyas in more detail. So the whole chapter, of course, is that karma sannyas, so moksha sannyas, so liberation through renunciation. Any questions, any comments?
When you use the word I, it could be more a reference I, not necessarily egotistic I.
Yes.
Okay, say if you ask me, did you do it? Yes, I did. That doesn't mean it's loaded with ego.
Right, right.
But it's a reference, I is a reference there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously.
That does not mean ego, right?
No, I does not mean ego, but when I am doing it for me with this false image, I, that becomes the whole focus. I am only working for my pleasure, my happiness, my wealth, my this, my that. Then, so, you know, obviously, you say I did this job. Yeah, we're not saying that you cannot use I. But a lot of times, a lot of people use we. Again, you know, like, we don't think so. In the idea is to expand your vision to thinking. But yeah, that's
good. In society, we can use the word we are including me, they say.
Right. Yeah, no, again, I is not a bad word, but to work only for I is a bad word. Yeah, there's a difference. Yes.
You mentioned about karmanyam and kartavyam.
Right.
Kamya
and kartavya.
Kamya. Huh. You know, you need to plan.
Right.
To do your kartavya. But in this case, I'm not understanding which has to come first.
No, we have to plan.
Okay.
We you cannot work without planning. You have to plan what you're going to do, what you're going to have for dinner today. So accordingly, you go for shopping, right? But when you're preparing dinner, if you are thinking that I hope my husband likes it, the guests are coming, I hope they like it, last year they had come and I didn't do a good job, then what will happen is the dish will not come out good. Because you plan what you're going to make, but then while you're making, you pay attention to what I'm doing and not worry about the past or the future. And then your job will be perfect. But otherwise, it will always be colored by past experiences or future anxieties. So that's why. That's what they mean. No, we are not saying you don't plan. You have to plan what you're going to do next year. You're going to take a trip next year, for example. You have to start planning, and you have to, you know, buy the tickets 6 months ahead and all that. So, but while you are doing the action, you should be in the present. That's what called living in the now. You know, and the whole essence of Vedanta is in the now, because you cannot work in the future. You say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this. But when tomorrow comes and you're working, you will be working in the now, in today. Tomorrow will become today. You can only work today. You cannot work tomorrow. You cannot work yesterday. I wish I could go back and change, you know, the past. Or I wish I could influence the future. No. All you do is do your best and the future will take care of itself. Yes.
Fruit of action, you say, is tyaga. Actually, you can enjoy the fruit of action. Only you have to let go is the Krishna part.
Yes. Yeah, the desire or the longing, right? Just let the fruit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, any action you do, there is always a fruit.
Right.
You don't give up the fruit, okay? But you don't work for the desire to getting.
Yeah, because you're right. Because if you're working for a particular fruit and you don't get it, you will be disappointed.
But right. If you just work and whatever comes in return,
right,
you enjoy, whether it is good or bad.
Right. Yeah, that is true. That is called santushta. That is called contentment. I did my best and ultimately the result depends on, you know, many factors. And so I enjoy what comes without, and then even if it's good or bad, you know, it's meant to be. Yeah. But yeah, if you're working for a particular result, the desire is then, and you don't get it, that's when all the restlessness comes. That's when all the sorrow comes. That's where all the problems come. Yeah, thank you. That's a good point. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Durghabhavi. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Harihi Om Shri Guru Namah, Harihi Om.